بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي نجيح عمر بن عبسة السلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: فقلت يا نبي الله، فالوضوء حدثني عنه. فقال: ما منكم رجل يقرب وضوءه فيتمضمض ويستنشق فينتثر إلا خرت خطايا وجهه وفيه وخياشيمه، ثم إذا غسل وجهه كما أمره الله إلا خرت خطايا وجهه من أطراف لحيته مع الماء، ثم يغسل يديه إلى المرفقين إلا خرت خطايا يديه من أنامله مع الماء، ثم يمسح رأسه إلا خرت خطايا رأسه من أطراف شعره مع الماء، ثم يغسل قدميه إلى الكعبين إلا خرت خطايا رجليه من أنامله مع الماء، فإن هو قام وصلى فحمد الله تعالى وأثنى عليه ومجده بالذي هو له أهل، وفرغ قلبه لله تعالى إلا انصرف من خطيئته كهيئته يوم ولدته أمه. فحدث عمر بن عبسة بهذا الحديث أبا أمامة صاحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال له أبو أمامة: يا عمر بن عبسة، انظر ما تقول، في مقام واحد يعتى هذا الرجل؟ فقال عمر: يا أبا أمامة، لقد كبرت سني ورق عظمي واقترب أجلي، وما بي حاجة أن أكذب على الله تعالى ولا على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لو لم أسمعه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا مرة ومرتين أو ثلاثا، حتى عد 7 مرات ما حدثت أبدا به، ولكني سمعت أكثر من ذلك. رواه مسلم. Just to recap the lengthy hadith, we had discussed it over one or two sessions in the month of Ramadan towards the latter part. This hadith pertains to the incident of Amr bin Abasa Sulami radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the fourth or fifth person to accept Islam. It was very early days. The situation was very difficult in Makkah Mukarramah. He was not a resident of Makkah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fearing for his safety and his life, felt he would not be able to withstand the perils he would have to face as a new Muslim in such a difficult environment. So he advised him to return back to his people. And once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been established, to return back to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He undertook the journey after he had heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Madinah Munawwara and that Islam was now spreading far and wide. At his first encounter with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had asked with regards to the Shariat, which had obviously advanced quite a bit in his absence. The question he asked was with regards to Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him the times of Salah. This we discussed in great detail. Of pertinent point was the times when Salah was makruh, when the sun is rising, when the sun is at its zenith, and when the sun is setting. The sun is rising and setting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the illat, the reason that was given, is it rises between the two horns of shaitan. We mentioned that this is a figurative concept which refers to the time when there is increased movement or the starting of the movement of shaitan and his followers who go out on their quest to try to deviate people. And the second illat was mentioned that with regards to the rising and the setting of the sun, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the time that shaitan, that the kuffar, hina yasjudu lahal kuffar, this is the time that the disbelievers or the shaitan worshippers or the sun worshippers make sajda to the sun. From this we mentioned a very, very important point that if even in ibadat, even in acts of worship, this is the extent of prohibition, where Islam, the Shariat, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked tashabbu bil kuffar, imitation of the kuffar, of their ways, their customs, their rituals. If even in worship we are prohibited, we learn how much more important it is that in other aspects of our life, we have an Islamic identity, we have the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the most superior way. That total complete conviction has to be there in our hearts, and in every aspect of our life we have to shy away from imitating the customs, the rituals, the ways, the practices of the kuffar and the disbelievers. Rather, adopt for the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this is barakah, in this is blessings, in this is nuraniyat, in this is hidayat, and this is an expression of our allegiance and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, to continue with the hadith, Amr bin Abasa Sulami radiallahu ta'ala who says, I said, O Nabi of Allah, tell me, O make bayan to me, O with regards to wudu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma minkum rajul, not a single person, يُقَرِّبُ وَضُوءَهُ, brings his wudu, brings his water for wudu. Thereafter, he gargles, and thereafter, he places water in his nose and then blows it out, as we do in wudu. After washing the hands, we gargle the mouth, cleanse the mouth. Thereafter, water is put into the nostrils, then it is blown out. What is the effect of this? خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا وَجِهِ وَفِيهِ وَيْخَيَاشِيمِهِ. The sins of the face, the sins of the mouth, and the sins of the nostrils. The hard bone inside the nostril is what we call khayashim. All the sins committed by these parts of the body fall away when we make wudu and we wash this section of the face. With regards to the sins of the face itself, what is meant by this? Ulama Ikram mentioned, obviously it could refer to the sins committed by the eyes. It could refer to the sins committed, like we mentioned, by the glance, which direction we turned, etc. Or at times a person can even commit sins with the expressions of his face. So to this extent, as we've seen in the previous hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam equated and compared salah and the effect it has on cleansing one from sins, like bathing in a stream. So we find that this same concept is intensified in this hadith to the point where even the water you put into your nostrils and comes out, even the water that goes into the mouth, all the sins committed of the mouth, the water that touches the face, all the sins committed of the face, every one of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives this person. ثُمَّ إِذَا غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ, then he proceeds to actually wash his face. كَمَا أَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him. خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا وَجْهِ مِنْ أَطْرَافِ لِحْيَتِهِ, then the sins of the whole face fall away from the sides of his beard with water. Very, very interestingly is the analogy Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses. خَرَّتْ خَطَايَا وَجْهِ مِنْ أَطْرَافِ لِحْيَتِهِ مَعَ الْمَاءِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the sins of the face will fall away with the water from the sides of the beard. Understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing wudu to a male. This is why in the analogy Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, from the sides of the beard the water will fall. Obviously, when you wash your face, what happens? The lowest part of the face, if a person doesn't have the beard, is the chin. But if a person has a beard, obviously, the beard restricts the flow of the water. And more often than not, if a person washes his face properly, the water will move towards the side because of the beard and will fall from the sides of the beard. Amr bin Abasa Sulami radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to all intents and purposes, was a new Muslim, even though he had accepted Islam, probably the fourth or the fifth person. Like we mentioned in the initial part of this hadith actually is one of the many ahadith that are cited in support of the majority viewpoint of the muarrikhin, of the historians, that the first male to accept Islam was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, his Islam was muqaddam, was before the Islam of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because when Amr bin Abbasah, like just to recap, in the beginning of the hadith, he mentioned how fraught with danger the situation in Makkah was. When he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who his supporters are, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hurrun wa Abdun. One free person, one slave. Referring at that time to the male supporters, obviously. The Islam of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, and we know that she was the first person to accept Islam. So Hurrun referred to Abu Bakr, Abdun referred to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. The reason Ali radiallahu ta'ala was not mentioned, two reasons ulama ikram give, as we mentioned previously. One, that Ali radiallahu anhu was very young, and there is also the possibility that he had not yet accepted Islam. But the more popular viewpoint was that he had already accepted Islam after Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But being a youngster, being of a very young age, his Islam was not mentioned. Coming back to the point, Amr bin Abbasah accepted Islam at that time technically, but that was his sohbat of Rasulullah SAW was very limited. His exposure to Islam also was very limited. He is only now 13, 14, 15 years later learning about salah, learning about wudu. Yet such, to all intents and purposes, what we may consider is from that point of view a new Muslim, and yet Rasulullah SAW, in giving him the analogy, is giving him a very specific description. Water, when you, Amr, wash your face, the water will fall from the sides of your beard. Which makes us understand what a stressed sunnah the beard was. That even Amr bin Abbasah, Sulami radiallahu anhu, who to all intents and purposes had very little sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was already keeping a full beard. For the water to fall from the sides of the beard is not a small beard. It is at least minimum a sunnah beard, where we are given the description in other ahadith, at least to the one palms or one's fist length, the beard should be that, or even exceeding that. That for the water to fall at the side of the face, as I mentioned, it has to be a full beard, otherwise that is not possible. From this we learn the prevalence of the sunnah of beard. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he's describing washing the face, anyone else technically wash the face, water will fall down the face. Mention of the beard would technically not have been there, which makes us understand the prevalence that it was this mindset that you can be a male Muslim follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that zamana, in that period, and not have a beard was unheard of. This is the reason why ulama ikram, to the extent of wajib, compulsory, the ruling is given with regards to for the male to keep the beard. And this is, when something is wajib, when we break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously that carries a sin. And the beard, particularly shaving of the beard, cutting of the beard, beneath the length of sunnah, this is one of those sins which carries a, what we call a double-edged sword. Because it is a sin that requires istimrar. Istimrar means you have to perpetuate that sin. It's not a question of shaving your beard for one day. You have to shave your beard every day. That is because the beard will keep growing. So you are committing that sin on a regular basis. And we've discussed many times previously why sins that are committed on a regular basis are all the more dangerous. Just to recap, the most important reason is that the benefit or the shock or the inclination of tawbah, of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, of nadamat, of regret. You keep doing something over and over again that is wrong, regret comes out. The inclination to commit, to repent also comes out. Nevertheless, that was something we were digressing, as it's very, very interesting that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam particularly mentioned, and how beautifully, how intricate the description. Wash your face and notice that the water will fall from the sides of the beard. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, to that extent, whatever sins were committed by any part of the face will fall away whilst the person is making wudu. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Amr bin Abbasah Sulami that you will wash your two hands up till the elbow. Illa kharrat khataya yadehi, except that your sins will fall. Again, look at the analytical description. The previous description of the face from the sides of the beard. Here Rasulullah says the water will drip from the fingertips with the water. Specific mention is made of the fingertips. One, because naturally if you notice, water will drop or separate itself from the body from the lowest point. So the lowest point of the limb of the hands is the fingertips. The second means that no sin will remain, every sin throughout the hand, from the elbow right up till the fingertips. What sins were committed with your fingertips also, such is the cleansing and the purifying.